The guards lowered their scatterguns and allowed the companions to enter Bullardville. Once inside, there was no mistaking the proposed campsite. Not with 15 wags parked in a broad circle on the baked yellow dirt. On the largest wag's side was a crudely painted sign that read, Gert Wolfram's World-Famous Carney Show. Lots of Ville folks were standing around gawking, while dozens of Carney roustabouts worked to set up camp. The heavy protective tarps were pulled back from the trailered cages so the gawkers could see in, from a goodly distance. The newcomers appeared to have set up a kind of invisible perimeter that the villagers weren't crossing. Maybe they'd been warned to steer clear. Maybe they didn't need to be warned. The companions approached the mob.
What's that? A foghorn?
A what, Millie?
Beside Ryan, Jack cranked his head around and stiffened, as if 10,000 volts had just shot through him. The youth's reaction surprised the one-eyed man. Before Ryan could raise a hand to stop him, the albino took off, running at full tilt for the cages. Some of the Carney folk saw him coming and tried to block his way with widespread arms.
Hold on there, little fella.
Jack swung his white head, feinting one way, then squirting past them.
Somebody stop that fucker!
Dark night. We're supposed to come in nice and quiet and wreck first.
Better back his play. Come on, people.
JB pulled Doc along like a stubborn calf.
What in Gaia's name?
There was no one left to try to turn them back. All the Carney folk had rushed over to one of the cages. It appeared that the agile intruder was getting eaten alive. Jack had his head stuck between the bars of the cage, holding onto them with both hands. For a split second, Ryan's heart dropped in his chest.
Oh, shit.
He thought Jack Lauren was most definitely a goner, his head half inside the great carnivore's open maw. But then he saw that Jack wasn't getting chewed. He was getting licked. The muty mountain lion's tongue slathered his face so hard that even holding onto the bars with all his might, Jack couldn't keep his boots on the ground. It scrubbed the albino's face and neck with a wide pink tongue that had to be a foot and a half long.
What the nuke in hell?
It's the lion, JB. They've got the lion.
The companions, except Doc, who was still wearing the thousand-mile stare, needed no further explanation. Some time ago, Jack had been made a prisoner in Baron Willie Elijah's Mutey Zoo. He'd been caged up with a Mutey mountain lion. After an initial violent and lengthy misunderstanding, the two had got on famously. They were both wild things, so well matched physically and spiritually that they could communicate without words. Brother beasts of the hellscape. Once freed, the big lion hadn't run off, but had followed Jack and his comrades. Only when it refused to enter a Mat-Trans unit was it left behind. This, it seemed certain, was that selfsame noble beast.
A captive again.
Unlucky.
Maybe. Maybe not.
What do you mean, JB?
Found Jack again, didn't he?
Step back from the cage, Mutey.
The Carney who tried to stop Jack before shouldered up to the bars. He was a big, thick-bodied man with a heavy, blue-black shadow of beard stubble and matted black hair on the tops of his shoulders and the back of his arms. He outweighed Jack by more than 100 pounds. The albino paid him no mind.
I said, step the fuck back!
With no one to stop them, the villagers pressed forward for a good view of the action.
Looks like the show's gonna start day early.
Damn, wish I had some roasted sticky.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Jack pulled his head out from between the bars, but didn't move away. His fine, shoulder-length white hair was plastered to the side of his head.
Let Cat out.
Yeah, right. Turn loose 1,000 pounds of man-eater on your say-so, Whitey.
Let him out.
The smile melted off the hairy man's face.
Get closer, people.
The companions began to move.
You're begging for a major ass-kicking, boy.
The Carney looked around to make sure he had backup.
And by sky dark, you're gonna get it.
Before the hairy roustabout and his pals could take a step forward, Lauren's right hand was up and full of 357 Magnum Colt Python. He showed them all the dark hole in the crowned muzzle, the hole where death slept, until called.
Open cage now!
Ryan threw a shoulder into the hairy man from behind. The blindsiding impact sent the roustabout stumbling to his knees hard.
fuck.
He immediately jumped back to his feet. He was very nimble for a big man. In the next instant, weapons were out all around. The carnies waved 9mm semi-auto blasters, KG-99s and Llamas. Blue steel high-capacity cheapies in excellent condition. Ryan held his scoped Steyr SSG-70 rifle at waist height. Christy had her Model 640 Smith & Wesson 38 caliber revolver in a double grip. Dean likewise braced his high power. Mildred one-handed her 38, a Czech-built ZKR 551 target pistol, and JB balanced his 12-gauge Smith & Wesson M4000 pump gun against his hip. Seeing the deadly turn of events, the Vilgawkers turned and ran.
Oh, shit! I'm out of here!
They scattered for the cover of the plant beds like so many jackrabbits. The tense moment stretched on and on. No one on either side wanted the shooting to start. They were standing way too close to each other to miss. Once the blasting began, there weren't going to be any survivors. Nobody moved. Nobody even blinked.
What in the red fucking blazes is going on here?
A tall man in a red tailcoat stormed out of the biggest wag's side door. At his side was a naked, 3-foot-tall, immature Sticky. The tailcoated man and his little shadow slowed their charge as they approached the fracas.
Furlong? What is this all about?
With his KG-99 sights locked on Ryan's chest, the hairy roustabout addressed his boss.
Whitey there wants us to let the nukin' lion out. Started waving his blaster in our faces.
As if it understood what Jack was trying to do, the mountain lion reached a huge paw between the bars and placed it lightly on his slim but powerful shoulder.
Not gonna happen, son. That's one smart cat. The smartest, meanest, damnedest mountain cat in all of Deathlands. He's playing you for a triple stoop. Open that cage door, and he'll gut you from windpipe to goobers with one swipe of that big old friendly paw of his. Then he'll carve up the rest of us just for fun before we can do jack shit about it. Same way he chilled 3 of my best handlers over the past 2 months. One second they were alive, and the next they were torn clean in half. Legs here, the rest of them way the fuck over yonder.
Ryan sidestepped over to Jack.
It's not time for this fight. We got other business first.
Don't give flying fuck.
Jack.
Ryan stared hard into the albino's blood-red eyes. Jack swung the Python vent rib sights across his adversary's chests, counting and marking targets left to right. Prep for a rapid-fire, cylinder-emptying fusillade. A visible shudder passed through the pack of carnies. Having made his point, Jack holstered his blaster. After a pause, all weapons were lowered.
You ain't Gert Wolfram.
What makes you say that?
Gert Wolfram's fat, 50, and fucked. Last time we saw him, he had 2 broken ankles, and his sticky slaves were pulling him apart like a sweet dough pudding.
Even if Wolfram survived the appetite of his pets, he couldn't have lost 20 years in age, 200 pounds in weight, and gained 6 inches in height.
Oh, you got me. Actually, I never claimed to be old Wolfram. People just assume that it's so. I promise you that.
Neither will you, lover man. Neither will you.